Amen. That sounded good to me.
Yes, sir.
We've had a wonderful time this morning already. Good singing, working together. We're glad that the Father has watched over us and blessed us so immensely. There are those who are not with us this Sunday. There are those who were on planet Earth last Sunday, but God has called them off the face of the earth. But for some reason, and He always has reason, He has left us yet here a little while longer. And I trust this morning that you are filled with joy. Didn't we have a time last week? Praise the Lord. Good singing and good preaching. And He called this morning, and He's doing fine. And says He's praying for us. And I said, well, we're praying for you and the church there. And He's easy to take care of. Didn't make any audacious demands. And that's wonderful. And He enjoyed His stay with this here church. For those of you who are English majors, with this congregation. I want to call your attention this morning to the book of Luke. That's in the New Testament. Luke chapter 22, Matthew, Mark, Luke. 22, and if you would please, verse 39. Lesson topic this morning is a defining moment. It came to Jesus, and one day it will come to us. Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 39. And he came out and went as he was wont or accustomed to the Mount of Olives. His disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. Now, for those of you who haven't figured this out, Jesus is at the end of his ministry on planet Earth, with the exception of being sacrificed for us. He knows that his time has come. Verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, after they went into the garden that he was accustomed to going to, and kneeled down and prayed. There's a lesson there. It's always a good time to pray, but especially if you're facing a challenge. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Did you notice that? He's in the garden praying, And then instantly there's an angel from heaven. Our astrologers tell us that there are stars that they can see with that Hubble telescope that they sent up in the air. But a man going at the speed of sound, by the time he gets there, he would be dead. Not because of the atmosphere, but because of how long it would take him to travel that distance. But Jesus prayed, and immediately God dispatched an angel from heaven. Doesn't that encourage you to want to be a child of God? Verse 24, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, why sleep you? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. A defining moment for Jesus. A defining moment. Gethsemane was indeed a defining moment for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Although he had many defining moments, this was one extreme defining moment. Gethsemane and Golgotha were two were supremely defining moments for Jesus. Gethsemane is beyond, almost beyond human comprehension. It began to weigh heavily upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, regarding what was about to happen in his life. For the very purpose that the Lord, that his Father, had sent him, this would be a new experience for him. It would be something that he had never experienced before. But he was born into the world . Now notice I said to the world. I don't know what, he's always existed in eternity. But he was born into the world to die for our sins because of the love of his Father. That's why we have the privilege and the opportunity to be saved, is because of the love of God and the love of his Son, Jesus Christ, for his Father and for us. His moment of truth was at hand. A defining moment for the matchless Lamb of God, God's only begotten Son. Question. Would he rise to the occasion? Will he go through with this? Will he be true? Will he do for us or what the Father had sent him to do? He was and is the Son of God. But he had never been called upon to make such a humiliating sacrifice, to pay such a price. Never in all of eternity past. His defining moment had arrived. But his defining moment was our defining moment. Our future hung on what Jesus is going to do now. If he refused and did nothing, where would we be? Where would we be? We would still be under the curse of doom, of sinner, without hope and without help. That's called hopeless and helpless. Groping in darkness, groveling in iniquity, and doomed to an eternal hell. Jesus leaves the meeting room where they have eaten the Passover feast. He makes his way into the Garden of Gethsemane, where he is accustomed to going and praying. His disciples he took with him, but he only let them come so far into the garden with him. And then he took three more a little bit further, and then he went a little further still to pray. Notice what Jesus did in this defining moment. In this moment of heavy burden, he felt it urgent to pray to his Father. Where are you going, preacher? Example setting. Pray to the Father. And when things get heavy in your life, don't do anything foolish. Talk to your Father. But you must be in position to talk to your Father. You must have a relationship with God Almighty, as Jesus had. He went into the garden. He brought his disciples with him and took three a little bit further. And then he went even further to pray. He had a need to talk in this darkest hour, in this darkest moment, to commune with his heavenly Father. I think there's a song, Just a Little Talk with Jesus. Yes. I won't sing it. I'll just keep preaching. As he talks with his Father, as Jesus talks with his Father, he was sweating profusely. In your Bible, in Luke chapter 22, starting with verse 39. And he came out, that's where they were, eating the Passover, and went as he was accustomed, or wont in your Bible, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And when he was in place, he said to them, pray you too. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Even in these dire straits, it's challenging. It's difficult, but if it's your will, I'll go through with it. But if there's any other way, there are challenging times for us in our lives. And we talk to the Father about them. He doesn't always move them, but thank God Almighty he removes them sometime. Praying to his Father, verse 42 of the book of Luke 22. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Notice verse 43. God hears the prayers of his faithful children. He didn't move what he had sent him to do. But the Bible says, and there appeared, what? An angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as if they were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Who is he going through this for? Are you there? Are we paying attention this morning? Jesus, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, on planet Earth, for us, and now facing death, facing the sacrifice for us that we didn't deserve, but God wanted us to have it. Jesus is being called upon to make a commitment. When we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in our Bibles, we are being called upon to take a journey through the rest of our life with Jesus Christ. In this case, for him, it's a sacrificial call to give his life. The question comes, Jesus, how are you going to handle it? Are you willing to go this far from earth for us? You were willing to come and be born of a woman. You were willing to come and dwell on planet earth for 33 years. You were willing to come and bring a message. Choose men, teach them, train them to carry a message. But are you willing to ratify the message? Any gift won't do for this cause. A sacrificial gift is needed to accomplish the goal. He had already given, as I just said, a great deal for us. Healing the sick, raising the dead, at least three occasions. But now, Jesus, a sacrifice is needed. And only you can satisfy that sacrifice. Are you willing to give sacrificially, Jesus? You've given, yes. You've been liberal, yes. But now it's a bit more personal. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, this is Jesus' defining moment on planet Earth. To give his life sacrificially for this cause. For us, it's a great cause. And thank God Almighty, he apparently realized it. It's a great cause for us. It will position our Heavenly Father to be able to declare us righteous when we obey his gospel. Are you all there? It will give us the privilege, the glory, and the opportunity to have a personal relationship with God Almighty for his coverage, for his protection. And when he called us out of this body into eternity, it gives us the privilege and the honor of going to heaven and living forever with him. That's what hinges on Jesus' decision. All of it hinges on his decision. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You notice that was the statement Jesus made while he was on earth. Matthew chapter 11. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your soul. Jesus says, don't forget this. Jesus says, you ready? My yoke is what? My yoke is easy. And what? My burden is what? Light. What are you saying, Jesus? I am saying that you can do it. You can do it by my help and the help of my Father. With our help, it's easy and it's light. But that statement hinges upon what the Son's going to do now, at this moment. Jesus has apparently made his decision to give his life as a sacrifice for you and for me. He has to make that decision to please his Father and really to please himself, because pleasing his Father pleases him. We find him now being led away out of the garden after being betrayed by one of his own to be crucified. In your Bible, the book is Luke, the chapter is 23. The verse begins at 26. The reading begins at 26, rather. And as they led him away, that is, from that midnight discussion, supposedly action, demanding that he be killed, as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon of Cyrene, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the crossbeam that Jesus was carrying, that he might bear it after Jesus. A great crowd had gathered and followed, many of them women, which also bewailed and lamented him. Jesus didn't get angry. But Jesus, turning unto them, spoke, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves. Weep for your children. For behold, the days are coming into which they shall say, blessed are the barren, blessed of the womb that never bare, the peps that never gave suck. The day is coming when it will be a blessing not to have children. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there were two malefactors crucified with him, one on the right of him and one on the left of him. Jesus spoke on such occasion. Usually on those occasions, one foot was split on the other end. They put a nail through your foot to the beam. Your arms were outstretched, and they put a nail, big nail, through each of your hands. And here Jesus is on that cross, innocent, dying for you and for me, and for all of humanity. He speaks, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they even took the garment that they had on him. Did you hear what Jesus just said? "Father, forgive them." And we can get upset with somebody in the church and we won't show up no more. We won't even talk to them. Isn't that something? And they haven't put you on a cross. They haven't stretched you out. Haven't killed you or had you killed. There's something wrong with that picture. It's critically important, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. The more I read the Bible and the more I study the Bible, the more I pray, and the older I get, watch it, peace. God is not going to put up with foolishness. He's not going to put up with stubbornness.
By that I mean hearing His word, knowing His word, and rejecting His word. Knowing that we are rejecting His word. Unable to get along with one another. Mm-mm. Not accepted. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His garment and cast lots as to who's going to get it. He's putting His life not in the hands of the Roman soldiers. Jesus is putting His life in the hands of His Father. Luke chapter 23 and verse 46 says, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into thy hands, not thy hand, thy hands, I commend my spirit. Isn't that good to know? You're still living after you die. Spirit. Still living. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said that, He died. Your Bible says He gave up the ghost. He did it. Thank God Almighty, He did it. That made a way for me, and that made a way for me, you. That made a way for us to have a relationship with Almighty God, to have the privilege and the honor of being adopted as His children, and to one day, when we leave this world, go and live with the Father in heaven. Oh, what joy. It's hallelujah time. It came through. He gave sacrificially. He gave all that was needed for you and for me. He pleased His Father in heaven. He sacrificed for our good, not for His. Thank God Almighty, He loved us enough. That caused love. Brothers and sisters, nobody has killed us. Why can't we get along with one another? Are you there? He was concerned about pleasing His Father. And that should be of utmost concern with each of us. God Almighty, sacrifice for you and for me. He is our example. Jesus Christ is our example of love. He's also our example of humility and dealing with those who mistreat us. Amen to that. Because His Father could have said, boom, just like that, and wiped out all those soldiers. Since He's our spiritual Father, can we do less? Can we do less? Can we not sacrifice? Even though our sacrifice will not cost us, in most cases, our lives. Perhaps giving up a few luxuries here, there, and yard. I say to you, and God says to us, we can do it. We can do the will of God. We can live the life that God wants us to live for ourselves and be examples for others as well. His Son is not coming back to do that, to be an example. His Son is not coming back to walk on planet Earth. That's one of the reasons that God has blessed us with that which is called the G-O-S-P-E-L. You know what that spell? The gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can we do less? We can do it, church. We can live that life that will bless us one day to go where Jesus went. When He left His apostles, you remember in Acts chapter 1, talking to His apostles? And then when He had finished His message, no airplane came to get Him. He began to rise. And they are standing there looking. God dispatched an angel. What you looking for? He told you to go to Jerusalem. Go where you're supposed to go. Oh, church. When we do the Father's will,
to glorify the Father, we must trust Him. Did you hear that? When we do the Father's will, we must trust Him and do it gladly to take care of us. God cannot lie. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God can't lie. Don't quit. Don't give up. As a faithful child of God, to do so is saying to God by your actions, I don't think you can handle this one. That manifests a lack of faith. And without faith, it's impossible. Are you there? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. In His divine moment, Jesus glorified His Father. He made the right decision. Not only did He make the right decision, He made the right decision at the right time. There's a difference. He did two things which helped Him make the right decision timely. He prayed to His Heavenly Father, and He trusted the prayer that He made to His Heavenly Father. 3 days later. 3 days later, after His being hung on the cross. Early on Sunday morning. Early on Sunday morning. God sent His Holy Spirit to roll back the gravestone where they had buried His Son. Jesus rose from the grave a conquering King, more powerful than when He went in. Matthew 28 and verse 18. He arose. He arose a victor from the dark domain. Never no more. Never more to die. A defining moment. He did it all for you and for me. And all of those like us. A defining moment for Jesus. All the world talks about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He is revered. He's worshipped. He is praised. He is glorified. He gave His best. Did you hear that? He gave His best. Can we do less? The Son of God gave His best for us. Can we do best? Can we do best? Is it too much? Is God asking too much from us based upon what He did? There is nothing else on planet Earth that a human being can do and go to heaven. What do you mean, nothing else? If you don't obey the Word of God, you can never go to His house. If you're hard-headed down here, you won't be hard-headed up there. Amen. Bottom line, decide whether or not you want to go to His house. And the only way we can go to His house is to obey His will. You must keep My commandments in My house, to go to My house. Jesus has given us the sacrifice that we needed. He followed His Father's instructions. The Father was kind enough that He would let us have information, His instructions, so that we could have the privilege and the honor of obeying His instructions and then leaving this world, called out of this physical body, He gives us another one, just like He gave us the first one. And we can go on to glory and hear Him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Take advantage. I want to urge you to take advantage of this defining moment. A defining moment for the church collectively and a defining moment for each of us individually as we contemplate living a thankful life for what God has done and is doing in our lives. And also by doing that, we help others to change their life. Our relatives, our neighbors, workers, friends, live the life, tell the story that will change countless numbers of lives, both now and for future decades beyond us. Jesus is not coming back to earth to live and be an example. The apostles are not going to be resurrected to come back to earth to teach, to preach, and to be an example. We have been honored by God to be given that opportunity and that privilege of living a God-honoring life that can speak volumes to our neighbors and to the world. That's what it means to us, and that's what it means to God. Did you hear the last one I said? To God. He doesn't have any other messengers. He's not sending another messenger from glory. He's depending upon us to live the life and to be the messengers. He's counting on you. He's counting on me to help him. He has helped us and he is helping us. This is our defining moment. This is our glorious privilege and opportunity to do something God wants done on planet Earth. He's not sending his son Jesus back, and he's not sending any other angels back. Just us. But God is all wise. Why do you say that, preacher? Because number one, it's true, and because he knows what we are capable of doing, and he knows what we are capable of being by being his son or his daughters. Isn't that something? We have been saved by grace. God saves and God adds to his son's church, the church of Christ, the one that you can read about in your Bible. And I recommend, if you believe that you're saved and you can't read about where you are in the Bible by name, how do you know that you're saved? By name and by practice. Both. What is your answer? This is now your defining moment. God has one way, one individual to become a child of his. You've heard the gospel. You've heard the gospel. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Believe it with all of your heart. Believe it with all of your heart in what you can read, the gospel you can read in his Bible. Be godly sorrowful for the sins that you've committed in your life. That's called repentance. Acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes. Then be buried in water baptism for the remission of your sins. That's it. You've heard the gospel. Do you believe it? Are you sorrowful for the life that you've lived to this point that does not honor God? Are you sorry for the life that you've lived to this moment that displeased God? Are you willing to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior and to be buried in water baptism for the remission of your sins and for the forgiveness of all of your past sins? If that's true, let me tell you something.
If that's true, let me share something with you. Number one, the water is ready. Number two, the garments are ready. Number three, the baptizer is ready. The only unknowable that we don't know is whether or not you are ready to give your life to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you hear the believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, God adds you to his family. He adopts you as his child. He sends his Holy Spirit to indwell your heart, to enable and to empower you to be without excuse in doing his will and obeying his commandments. Isn't that glorious? And if you live faithful to him, if you live faithful to him, God has a mansion, a robe, and a crown waiting for you. Waiting for you. You will live with him never ever to die again. That's sure enough good news. If you're already in the body of Christ, you've been added to the church of Christ, but you walk contrary to the will of God, come this morning. Realizing you're on the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. Realizing that if you stay in that state, saved, you can never be. Renew your covenant. Rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. But you must be serious and you must mean it when you say it. As we together stand, you come.
What is your answer? Oh Lord, I have heard.
This is the Lord's invitation. What's your answer? Yes, Lord.
To me
is the only sensible answer.
But I long to rise in
come to
the
Jesus.
Arms
come,
of
come
faith
to the...
and be closer drawn to
you're
me.
Not a child. He will add you. He will add you to his
draw
child. To his,
me
he will add you to his family.
Me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me near, me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
God adds, God saves, and all people that he saves, he adds them to the same church. The church that you can read about in the Bible. You can read about only one church in the Bible. It was established through the preaching of the apostles as the Holy Spirit gave them the words. And it's recorded in God's holy book, the Bible. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. There's only one church. Now, if you're in a church that's not in the Bible, how do you know? What makes you think you're saved? I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I want heaven to know that I preached God's gospel. I shared what was in God's, what is in God's Bible. You should be able, you must be able to read, you must be able to read about that church in the Bible by name, practicing and teaching the same thing that the apostles practiced and taught. Well, just reading the Bible, just being going to a church and know some friends over there, da 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 da. You want to know if God's there first. It's serious business. The Bible lets us know, I believe in Revelation chapter 12, that there was a war in heaven. Satan led that war, an angel that turned bad. He lost it and was put out of heaven. And we read about him coming, being on earth the first time in Genesis chapter 3. He's still living the same kind of life. Lying, cheating, stealing. Disregarding God. I can't stop God from building his church, from establishing his church.
But I can establish so many churches, they won't know which church to believe unless they study. One Lord, that's in your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Your Bible talks, salute one another with a holy kiss, as the churches of Christ suit or greet you. Make a decision. Don't make an emotional decision. Make a God-centered decision based upon what you read about in the Bible. If you can't read about your church in the Bible, by name, how do you know it's the Lord's church? Jesus told his apostles, go ye therefore into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. The apostles taught one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. You trying to get me? No, I'm trying to tell you what the Bible says. You make your own decision as to whether or not you're going to believe it, receive it, and obey it. But I recommend it. I recommend it. God bless. One more verse, and you can be seated.
Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast done. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding Son.